Turn in your Bibles to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. What are you known by? Some people make their name in sports, and when they pass from this earth, that is what they are known by. Some people are known as talented musicians or talented artists, talented actors. Some people are known by their miserable fails, as you can see from many videos that are posted. That's not how people want to be known, but that's how they're known. There's some people like Joey Chestnut, who is known as the world's greatest hot dog eater. And he can accomplish a lot in 10 minutes. Last year, he set the world record for eating the most hot dogs and buns in 10 minutes. He ate 76 last year in 10 minutes. You know, when you want to accomplish something in a short amount of time and you put your mind to it, you can make it happen. And there's been a number of years where he's won that title of the world eating the most hot dogs in 10 minutes. This year, he only ate 63 in 10 minutes. When your tombstone is laid, what will you be known by? Joey Chestnut most likely will be known by eating the most hot dogs in 10 minutes. Winning the most championships for eating the most hot dogs. I don't think that's going to carry a lot of weight into eternity, though. I believe God has a plan and purpose for each one of our lives. And, you know, our lives need to embrace God's plan and will for our life. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that perfect and acceptable and perfect will of God. Sorry, I missed that up a little bit, but that you might know what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God has a perfect will for each of us. Many of us have plans and ambitions, and those things that we would like to accomplish, we often don't have enough time for, it seems like. Time flies by. And I was just talking to a lady earlier, a couple weeks ago actually, or this past week, and she and her husband had a lot of plans and ambitions, but her husband unexpectedly passed away. And she broke up crying and said, you know what, we had so many plans, and he had plans what he was going to do this summer, unexpectedly fell and had issues with the brain, and he passed away unexpectedly. James 4:13 is the passage we'll be looking at tonight. James 4:13 to 17. Why don't we read this passage together in unison? James 4:13 to 17. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that he ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we look into your word this evening, I pray that you would bless the presentation of your word. Lord, give wisdom and power. And may you show us, each of us, a truth that we need to take away from this passage. Lord, your word says the entrance of thy word bringeth light. Just show us the truth that we need for this evening. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 13 says, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. To be successful in life, you have to have plans. And there's a lot of people in this world that have plans. They have ambitions. Think of the rich man in Luke chapter 12. 16 to 21, this man saw a successful year. He said, you know what, my barns aren't big enough. I'm going to tear these down and build greater barns. You know what, to be successful, you have to have plans. And you have to be willing to take risks in life. There's many things, if you search on the internet, you read a lot of books. There's a lot of books on self-help and how to be successful in life. But a lot of these books are really about how you can be successful and how you can make the most of your life. And it all has to center on you as a person. Many of them will bring out the point that life is short. In fact, one of the articles I looked up, the first line, well, it says, life is short, steps to living your life to the fullest. And the first statement is, life is short. That is why it is so important to enjoy every single moment. Are you living life to the fullest? And in one sense, this passage here tonight is talking about living life to its fullest. But not for ourselves, not to see a successful life, but for a different purpose. Most people in the world are looking at what they can do and accomplish in the future so that they can make a name for themselves. And it's not necessarily all bad purposes and bad reasonings that they want to be successful. God has given us that drive and that desire in each one of us to be successful. But you know what? This world is obsessed with self and with pride. And although they might admit that life is short, they will want you to live life to its fullest in the world's way. He says to embrace, this author says to embrace new opportunities. What he says is take risks. Well, you know what? In the Christian life, we embrace opportunities by walking by faith. He says, be present. Don't get lost, basically, in the busyness of life. Well, yeah, we can agree with that. Don't be lost in the busyness of life. But you know what? We need to live in the present, realizing that there is a lost and dying world that is going to hell. That there are people in our family that need help, that need to see God's power. Don't get lost in the busyness of life. There's another whole list of things that he gives, and we won't talk about all of them tonight, but one of them is live for you. How about live for God, not live for you? It says, take care of yourself. Well, yes, take care of yourself. You know, the reason you take care of yourself is because that we're the temple of the Holy Spirit, and God has a plan and purpose for our life. One thing he says is worry less. Well, instead of worry less, how about trust God in every situation of life? There's no mention of God in this article in whatsoever. So I don't think this guy, he might know a little bit about how to be successful, but he sure doesn't know how to live life to its fullest. You know what? This world is about planning. But you know what? The fact is, life is not a guarantee. Life is not a guarantee. That's what the Bible says. You know not what is on the morrow. Life is but a vapor. He told the rich man in Luke chapter 16 that this man was going to tear down his barns and build greater. It says in Luke chapter 16, Jesus is telling this story. Luke 12, 16. And he spake a parable. The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And this man decided, you know what, I'm going to pull down these barns and build greater. And what did Jesus say? The man said, I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Enjoy life. Live for yourself. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. He was making plans, but God said, this night thy soul shall be required of thee in paradise. Tomorrow is not a guarantee, the Bible tells us. Life is unpredictable. James asks the question, do you know what's on tomorrow? The plans you make may never happen because life is short. We never know when our last breath is going to be. Life can end at any time, as this passage tells us. It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Note, when you see that, have that tea kettle on the water in the tea kettle and it's boiling, that vapor rises up and it disappears within a second or two. That is how short our life is. That is the picture that God gives us to show us how short our life is. And also that we don't know when life's going to end. It's unpredictable, James tells us. This ought to be a grim reminder that, you know, we need to be laying up for ourselves treasures in heaven. Matthew 6:19 says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." We need to be laying up treasures in heaven, and also making sure that we lay up treasures that aren't going to corrupt themselves. We need to make sure that our treasures are eternal. You know what, Joey Chestnut, he isn't laying up, as far as I know, I mean, at least for the hot dog eating contest, he's not laying up and living for treasures in heaven. You know what? Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. That thing that you live for, that you really focus on in life, your heart's going to be right there. That reveals where your heart is. Our life is but a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away. You know what? There's two different types of planning that you can do here. This passage talks about these people. They're Christians. All right, these people that he's writing to are Christians. They know God. God is a part of their life. I'm sure they go to church. They fellowship with believers. And the reason James is writing this to them, inspired by the Holy Spirit of God, is because he saw a need for something. They may have been planning, and maybe there is really a focus on material living. And he's challenging them to take a step back. You're making all these plans, but you don't know what's on the morrow. And he says, they may have been wrapped up in being successful materially instead of seeing God's plan being successful. You know, often when focused on being successful, a person can forget about having a spiritual vision. Maybe it's a vision for their family, seeing their family living for God, making sure that their children are daily in the Word of God, and that the family gets together and talks about and has those spiritual conversations. Often, you know what, you can, as you focus on maybe being successful in a certain area, the spiritual gets neglected. And that is why I think it's challenging here, because it says, for in verse 15, "For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or do that." We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I challenge us as a church to think about what is going to happen tomorrow. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. What if tomorrow was you took your last breath? Maybe it's tonight that you take your last breath. What would happen on the morrow? We wouldn't have a tomorrow. But if you took your last breath tonight, what would you be known by? And it's a challenging thought to think about, but a simple thought from God's Word. We don't know what's going to be on the morrow. Maybe your soul will be required of you tonight, as that rich man's was. And Jesus said, "Today, thy soul shall be required of thee." What will happen when you die? You know, some people here tonight may not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And if tonight was your last night, there would be no other opportunity to turn to Jesus Christ. And don't think that you will have more time to turn to Jesus Christ, because this might be the last night you have on earth. Your life is but a vapor. You know, as we think about what's going to be on tomorrow, we need to be consumed with God's plan for our life. Turn with me to Acts 20 in verse 24. Paul was a person who was consumed with God's plan for his life. And he had seen God, he had seen so much adversity on his trail, missionary trail. And he was in bonds and afflictions. But Acts 20, 24, it says, "But none of these things move me. None of these things dissuade me. None of them can take me away from the purpose that God has for me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself." But his life didn't really matter to him. But it's like that song we sang tonight, living for Jesus, a life that is true, striving to please him in all that I do, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Paul was consumed with God's plan and purpose for his life. And as we think about tomorrow, we need to be thinking about, what is God's will for my life? You might have plans for this summer, but always remember, you know what, if God, I remember, Matt, I can't think of his last name right now, but he would always say, if it's the Lord's will, or if God wills, I'll do this, or I'll do this. And he would almost always say that when talking about something that he wanted to do. And it's a challenge, because that's something that you always remember him by. He would always say, if the Lord wills, I'll do this. But we need to be consumed with what God's plan is. We need to be submitted to it. We need to plan around God's will and God's purpose. We need to have a spiritual mindset when we are planning what to do. Part of that has to do with planning our schedules around the work of the Lord and making sure that we are putting a priority on God's work at the local church and God's work that he has for us to do. And also everything that we do in life needs to be focused on what God's commission is for our life. Obviously, generally, we all have the Great Commission to fulfill. In every part of our life, whether it's work or whether we're going to maybe enjoy something out in God's nature, maybe go on a hike or go to the store, always need to remember and keep that in mind, that God has given me a Great Commission and that there's limited time to fulfill that. When life is finished, our goal needs to be to have accomplished God's purpose here on this earth. Paul said, "I have fought a good fight." Can you say that? I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course. You have finished the purpose God has for your life. And I have kept the faith. But I have not compromised. I have stayed true to the word of God. When life is finished, I hope that we can all say, I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. No matter what else goes on in life, If our priorities don't line up with God's priorities, then we need to have a priority change in our life. Your life is a vapor, James tells us, that appears for a little time and then vanisheth away. What does this tell us? It tells us that life is fleeting. Life is short. Psalms and throughout the Word of God, it compares that our life to a blade of grass. You know, you cut a blade of grass and on a hot sunny day, by the end of the day, it's dry. It's crunchy. You know what it's dead by the end of the day. That's how short our life is in God's perspective. He talks about it. God talks about our life as a shadow. You know, it appears in the morning and then in the evening, it's gone. That shadow. It's short. Because life is short, we need to have a reality check in our life. So you know what? Am I living like life is short? That I have a little bit of time here on earth to accomplish what God wants me to accomplish. Ephesians tells us that we must redeem the time because the days are evil. You know, there's a lot going against us in life. Redeem the time because the days are evil. Realize life is going to be an uphill battle, but you know what? We are on the winning side. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We must be continually on guard. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. We must be submitted to the Lord's plan. We must have the right priorities. Redeem the time. Means that we're going to have the right priorities in life. And we are going to use that time and we're going to redeem it. We're going to make it profitable for the Lord instead of wasting it away. Understand, and in the end of that passage in Ephesians 5 says, understanding what the will of the Lord is. How do we redeem time? It's by understanding and living for the will of God and the plan of God. You know, because our life is a vapor, it can end at any moment. The typical human being lives 77 years, the statistics say. But you know what? As we know from the events of the last week and a half, we never know when our life can end. Just over the July 4th holiday in Chicago, there was, 4 to 7 people murdered in a parade. You know, this world is an evil place. And we don't know when our last breath is going to be. You know, because our life is a vapor, because life is like a vapor, we need to number our days and apply our hearts unto wisdom, as Psalm 90 verse 12 says. Apply your heart unto wisdom. You know, as an elementary student, realize, number your days, the Bible says. You only have so much time as an elementary student to grow and to learn. You know, an elementary student normally doesn't die at an elementary age, but maybe you will live to be 70 or 80. Number your days and make all you can out of the time you have in elementary school. Learn to love God. Be diligent in school. As a junior high and high schooler, what are you living for? Are you living for God or are you living for self? Are you seeking to get the most out of your classes and being a good steward of what God has given you? Or are you pursuing different dreams? Or are you focused on doing and growing in what God has given to you? As a college, and maybe you're going into college, or you're in your young adult years, are you using the time, the abilities God has given you, the youth that God has given you to serve God? Or are you focused on other things? As an adult, what are you doing? Are you numbering your days, realizing that you may only have a few more years to serve God? And are you making the most impact for Jesus Christ that you can? Apply your hearts to wisdom. Apply your hearts to wisdom. As a senior citizen, are you numbering your days? Are you making your life count for the Lord Jesus Christ? Apply your heart unto wisdom. And we all know, well, maybe we don't all know, but wisdom over and over in the Word of God is who Jesus Christ is. Read the book of Proverbs and insert Jesus for wisdom and you'll know who Jesus is. And you'll know what wisdom is. Because life can end at any moment, our plans need to bear in mind that life is uncertain and we never know when our last breath is going to be. Right now, we need to make sure that our plans and ambitions line up with God's plans and ambitions for our life. I go back to that question we posed at the beginning. What is your life going to be known by when you take the last breath here on this earth? What is your life going to be known by? Make sure that we right now are guided by God's will and God's way. It says, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. If you don't know what God's will is for your life, you better get into his word so that you can know his will and know his way. The Bible says that we are not to be slothful in business, but we are to be fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Are we fervent in our spirit, serving the Lord? I think it was Brother Simonson's message. How they were busy serving the Lord. Everyone was involved trying to see the work of the Lord go forward? Is that your heart's desire? Do you see things that need to be done around the church grounds? Things of improvement. Maybe, I know there's an issue in the men's restroom that needs to be taken care of. You know what? It's all hands on deck, seeing the work of God. Go forward. This is just the practical way. But are you fervent in spirit, serving the Lord? You know, this coming week at Vacation Bible School, we have a great opportunity to be fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. It's not serving ourselves. It's not worrying about how we can make ourselves comfortable, but it's how can we serve the Lord as we go into this week of Vacation Bible School. That might be by you being at home, praying fervently, or at your workplace, praying as Vacation Bible School is going on. For many of us, it'll be here on the church ground, seeing these needs, the needs of the souls that are all around us. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Realizing that life is short and that life can end at any moment, we need to make sure that God is guiding our life and that we are surrendered to His plan. James 4:15, for that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this and do that. That sounds like someone who is submitted to God's plan. You know, in your life, if you're not submitted to God's plan, you might need to make a schedule change. Say, you know what, God? This needs to become a priority in my life. I don't know what God might have you change, or I don't know what areas that you are maybe not submitted to in your life, to God, but He might show you tonight. You know, this area, you need to submit to me and my plan for your life. Make sure that God's priorities are your priorities, seeing that life is short and can end at any moment. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 2:19, for what is our hope, our joy, our crown of rejoicing? What was Paul living for? What was his hope? What was his joy, his crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ at His coming? Paul was living for the Lord Jesus Christ to see souls brought to Him. And he was saying, you know what, you Thessalonian believers, I'm living because I want to see you at the coming of Jesus Christ there. When Jesus returns, I want to see you with Him. I want to see you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know what, your neighbors, your relatives, your family members, could you say that to them? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at His coming? Is that your hope? Is that your joy? Is that your crown of rejoicing? Wow, what a blessing that would be if we could all truly say that about our friends, our neighbors. And it's a challenge to think about. Is that our hope? Is that our joy? What makes us joyful in life? I know whenever I go out and I see God work, or I see a divine appointment with someone, that brings great joy. But often we can lose sight. We can get dull at what it truly brings joy and what truly brings contentment in life. James 4:17 is the last verse here. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. The conclusion of this passage here is, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. You know, often we know what is good in life and what we should be doing, but we often don't realize that it is sin if we don't do good. If we don't do good, the conclusion of your life is a vapor, it appeareth for a little time and vanisheth away, is what are you doing for God? Are you doing good? Are you serving Him? Are you living for Him? Realize that God holds the future. It is not us that holds the future. Our life is but a vapor. It appears for a little time and then vanishes away. What are you living for? You know what? Just in the last year, there have been so many people that have passed away, some unexpectedly. I think of those even in the bus ministry over the years that have passed away unexpectedly, or people that we are ministering to. I think of Austin McCallum, hit by a train, killed. Someone who had that we were ministering to had a chance to live for God, Think of another bus dad that died about 6 years ago. Someone that we had the opportunity to, thankfully, to share the gospel. Unfortunately, he never, that I know of, received Jesus Christ as his Savior. There's another dad of a bus kid just recently, a couple weeks ago, died somehow. I don't know how he died, but unexpectedly passed away. Just showing how life is a vapor. You know, there's a bus mom in the last year that lost two close family members, her dad and someone else. There's another bus mom that lost her sister within the last year or so. Think of the contact that Paul, I think it was, the family member, the dad or someone that died. We have another contact here that we are ministering to right down the road from us. His father died. You know, life's a vapor. And obviously most of us know about Benjamin Reimers, who just passed away last Sunday night, or July 3rd. Just watching the fireworks. Harmlessly doing nothing there. But passed away into eternity through a tragic car accident. Now, if that was you in that place, what would you be known by? What would be written about you on your obituary? But praise the Lord that Ben was living for God. He was living for God. He had that purpose and that plan. One of his verses was, what is our hope and joy and crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye, those who he was ministering to, in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ? I know that was his heart cry. But what is your life? And as I was thinking about all these people that have recently passed away, many unexpectedly, Andy Fix, right down the road from the church here, by the way the crow flies, less than a mile away, passed away unexpectedly with a heart attack. We don't know who's next. You know what? It may not everyone obviously passes away unexpectedly, but we don't know. It could be us next, one of us next. And what is our life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Serve God now while you have the chance and go all out for God, living for his purpose and for his plan. As we come out to Vacation Bible School, young people, especially those of you young people who know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I hope that you'll go all out for God this next week. Realizing that, you know, these young people that you're sitting by could pass away. You know, there's been many stories of that in the last year, people tragically passing away, even at a young age. You know, you don't know how long that person next to you is going to live. And you know, that's just a grim reality that we need to think about, and we need to even challenge people with. That, you know what, right now is our opportunity to live for God. So that one day, as Christians, we can hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Just challenge you to think about that this evening. What is my life going to be known by when I pass from this earth? Is it going to be known by something that really doesn't matter? Or is my life going to be known by someone who is serving God? Someone who is a soul winner? Someone who loved God with all his heart or her heart, with his heart, soul, mind, and strength? Think about that and just ask yourself that question tonight. What would my life be known by if I passed away this evening? And be challenged by that and change your life as God would want you to change. And praise the Lord that we serve a gracious and a loving God. And he wants us to serve him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And he will give us that strength. Paul said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. May we press toward that prize press toward that mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we know that our life is but a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanisheth away. Lord, it is easy to forget at times that our life is but a vapor. Pray that we would be living for your purpose and your plan. Even tonight, Lord, help us to really purpose to live in your will, submit to your plan for our life. And Lord, if there's an area that we need to change, I pray, Lord, that you would give us that grace and commitment to follow Christ in that way. We pray, Lord, that our life, at the end of our life, we would be able to say, we would be able to hear you say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Lord, I pray that each one of us here would be able to say at the end of our life, I have fought a good fight, I have finished the course, and I have kept the faith. Lord, we know that we need your grace to do that. And I pray, Lord, for anyone here that has not yet trusted Christ as their personal Savior, I pray that tonight they would be humbled by the grim reality that they could take their last breath at any time. They don't know when. And I pray that that would cause them to turn to Jesus Christ, realizing they need your mercy and they need your salvation. I pray, Lord, that you would bless this prayer time. And Lord, help us to really beseech you on behalf of all these prayer requests, knowing that we don't know when the last day, the last time is going to be for many of these people. Help us to seek to serve you with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, and our strength, and put you first in our lives. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.